Denial is vicious. It's like your mind gets hijacked, and every time you need to think clearly to see that you're walking into a terrible and dangerous trap, denial kicks in and it hides it from you. What you feel is confused, but on some level you know it's happening because of strange thoughts and decisions that you make, and because you're trying to hide that you're walking into a trap from other people, the people who would definitely try to stop you because they care about you. Denial is a destructive force, and I know because I've had it happen to me too. When you're in it, you can't see it, so everything depends on reaching out for help. Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible, and those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show. My letter today is from a woman I'll call Madison, and she reached out, and she writes, "Dear Fairy, I need to see clearly so I can make a decision. All right, I've got my fairy pencil. I'm going to circle things I want to come back to on a second reading, but let's read through Madison's letter and see what's going on. It's a fairly complicated situation. It's shocking in places too. All right. She says, my question is, do I admit I made a mistake a second time and go through with a divorce, or do I accept the choice I've made and do my damnedest to go through it? I met my now husband 8 months ago. I traveled with him to his country and got married 2 months later. Okay, 2 months later, wow. 3 days later, I started a divorce proceeding in his country. The reason is he didn't want to kiss me the day we married or have sex or cuddle that night. He slept in his clothes with a blanket around him. He said he didn't feel that the sheets were clean. I accepted that. But the following day, I felt I was walking behind him. I was dependent because I didn't speak his language and he was leading. He was speaking with someone and asked them for directions. We went the wrong way and I was tired and sad, and at one point I lost it. I walked off on my own thinking I knew where to go. He called me, I ignored him, and when he finally caught up to me, he pulled off my hat, pulling my hair at the same time, and grabbed my headphones and threw them in the river. He was yelling at me to follow him. I was crying. Two people said to me they saw what happened and I didn't have to go with him. I followed him. I didn't know what to do. As we were near the bus stop, the person came up again and showed me they were police and told me that they could help me and I didn't need to go with him. I chose not to go with my husband as I was afraid. I went home and I didn't speak with him for the next 2 weeks, home country. When he showed up in my country, I gave him a chance to speak. And after many hours of talking, I stopped the divorce. I resumed the marriage and bonded with him as much as possible. He then traveled to a new country where he applied for a work visa while I applied for a spousal visa for him to come to my country. We've been physically separated for almost 5 months now. I've become isolated and more depressed over time. At the beginning of the separation, we spoke morning and evening regularly, not for long, but enough to connect. During the last month, I've lost my desire to call or even message. I'm tired of talking about myself and not knowing about his life. He made it clear I wasn't to ask any questions. I know very little about him. This was my mistake. Sometimes he shares, but it doesn't feel balanced. I feel emotionally distanced from him. Am I blaming that on him? Maybe if I were more emotionally honest, I would feel close to him. If you're like me, hearing this much so far, it's pretty clear what's going on, and it's clear what I am going to recommend to her. But it was such a mystery to me. Why is it so hard to see? Why is the denial so strong? When I asked him how he feels, he says he's good. He did explain that he says that when he's not doing well because he doesn't want to give energy to the things that aren't going well. I imagine it's not easy for him in a new country, not having work and his money running out. Yet I'm not doing well with him hiding it from me. He admitted he has ADHD. This is where codependent energy can find something to grab onto. There's a diagnosis. I can help. I'm commenting. This is not what she said. He admitted he has ADHD. I see him as high functioning. I too suspect I'm high functioning. And part of our attraction is because of this connection. I think it's something different. Most recently, I heard from the lawyer that my husband needed to repeat the English exam as the one he sat for was not for a visa application. Also, immigration needs his divorce certificate. He was very angry about this. So he was married before. Immigration wants a divorce certificate, and he's very angry about this. Okay, she's still not seeing it. I reminded him that he chose to do that exam, knowing they may not accept it. I also remember asking him about the divorce certificate at the beginning, and he said it wasn't needed because the details are on his birth certificate. Okay, logical fallacy here, non sequitur. Birth certificates don't have your future on them. I accepted his choice then, but now the visa may be rejected because of this. Oh dear. Okay. Madison, I'm going to read the rest of your letter, but we need you to wake up. We need you to wake up. There are red flags just like poking you in the face. And you're deep in rationalizing them. And I totally understand trauma does this. And I'm hoping that by reading aloud what you told me, it'll be clearer to you where you're in denial. Okay. So the letter goes on. I don't know what is happening with the divorce certificate. As my husband said, leave it up to him to sort it with the lawyer. If the lawyer is actually a lawyer. I recently asked the lawyer for an update and he said he has submitted the English certificate to immigration. Part of me wants to end the marriage now. Part of me wants to wait for a decision and hopes the visa won't be approved. Part of me wants to do whatever is needed to make it work. All right. Those of us who are traumatized and have a attachment wound, we understand completely. I understand those dual motives. But right now, the one who wants to leave the marriage is the one who's seeing reality. And the other two are afraid and causing you to go into denial. All right. I recognize I was struggling before I got married, so I don't want to blame him for my emotional and mental state now. I spent 7 years celibate before this relationship, working through my previous marriage and building a new life. I was learning how to feel loved and be loving while taking responsibility for my life. So you have a lot to lose here. I thought I was ready to practice in a committed relationship. A committed relationship is not what you're having right now, but okay. I'm finding this situation dysregulating. Yes, I keep regulating myself, but I'm getting tired and sadder and weaker as time goes by. Yeah, it's like somebody's putting arsenic in your tea every morning, isn't it? Because emotionally and mentally, it is like poison in your mind, the denial. I don't know how much longer I can hold on as part of me seems to have given up. I struggle with self-doubt and my thoughts can be very dark. Is it worth waiting to see what the visa outcome is or just end it now? Okay. I'll get to that at the end. I'm not able to do a long distance marriage. So if he can't come here, I think that's the end, as I'm not willing to sacrifice what I've worked so hard to build. And yet I hear a voice saying I need to give up everything to make a new start. I want to have a secure, loving relationship. I want you to have that too. This is not it, okay? I believe that's what my husband wants too. I don't think he does. I think he wants something very specific and it's not that. All right, so I wrote to her and I said, I'm trying to understand. I just feel like something has been omitted here. You're not really quite telling me enough information. I'm trying to understand what is so compelling here, because it sounds straight up like an exploitative, somebody trying to get citizenship and being abusive and lying to you about everything. So I asked some questions like, what's going on? The spousal visa has been accepted now. She responded, I don't know when he'll arrive here. He's sitting his second driving test on in a few weeks and is planning to come. I've told him that if he comes here, I want to live separately and I don't want to have sex. I said, I'm in fear and I need to feel safe. So I just, I can't wait till we're done reading the letter. You don't marry somebody who you don't want to live with or have sex with. That means, and who you don't feel safe with. That's the opposite of marriage. That's called no contact. That's called you want somebody out of your life. So you're having this very bad dissonance in your being here of like, it can be made great, but it's horrible. You're miserable. You're giving up on life. And you don't want anything to do with him. I said I wanted him to know beforehand so he can choose to stay in the country where he is because he's spent the last 5 months settling there or come to another new country and go through that again. A few days later, I explained to him that I don't know if he wants to get a job or not, and I'm not willing to pay for him because I've already spent a lot of money. There it is. You didn't mention that in the first letter. You've spent a lot of money. And I was wondering, like, where's the part where you give him money? So, honey, this is a very bad situation. This is somebody who's abusive, who doesn't bother to talk to you, who is controlling you, who's deceiving you, who's taking money. He became defensive, changing the subject by saying he didn't ask me to pay for it and he knew accepting the money would cause problems. So you're to blame, right? It's just like he's showing classic behavior of somebody exploiting someone. So that's a mental trick to, it's like, no, this is wrong. You resenting putting money into somebody who's not behaving in a loving and present manner, who's not trying to get a job, that's your fault. So that's, there it is. Please don't be gaslit by that. That's just nonsense. It's not true. Even the best of us can get deceived sometimes by somebody who offers love, but you figured out very early on, if you marry somebody after 2 months, that right there is the biggest red flag you could ever see. Don't marry somebody after 2 months. Never marry somebody from another country who can't like hang out with you on a continuing basis in 2 months. I told him that I sent him some money because I was worried he didn't have money to pay to buy rent or food. I'm worried you don't have money to buy rent or food. I told him he wouldn't tell me the truth about his financial situation, and so I didn't know how he was paying for the rent. He said it triggers him for me to have to ask questions. So now he knows your language, triggering, that his dad used to ask him questions. So my dad used to ask me questions. Now you ask me questions. You're making me have to be upset and raging and shut down. So that the reason he's not answering your questions is because he's lying. And I usually will not be so direct with people. We have to give people the benefit of the doubt. But in this case, I'm just going to say it strongly. Maybe I'll pull back a little bit. I think the people in the comments are going to lay it to you very straight. The time, you know, this you wrote to me just a few weeks ago. I really want this to get out there and reach you very soon so that you see this. Here's the thing. I don't think you realize this. When you marry somebody, they can rack up debts and you are responsible for them. This is not a marriage. This is a trap set for you that you're already so fragile in, and you stand to lose everything that you have left right now. You can still get this reversed. You can not let the immigration happen in your name or be that person for him. You can stop this, and I hope you will. So there's more. Everybody bear with me if you want to understand how is her mind working, because you may have had something just like this before. I think I have too. Not this case, but this level of denial and confusion. My understanding is he doesn't want transparency. He suggested we go to a lawyer and make an agreement about finances. I said, I don't want to do that. I need transparency in a marriage. I was trying to express how I want real connection. And then she was telling me, I won't go into detail on this. She sent him a bunch of YouTube videos about what she thinks is wrong with him by another YouTuber who does videos about trauma. Oh dear. It's like all the tricks in the book to try to control somebody who's actually making your life completely out of control. And his initial response was telling me if he comes here, when she said she wanted to live separately, he said, who are you seeing? And why are you telling me this now? I have an exam to prepare for. So again, the shaming and guilting, blaming. A few days later, he said his heart has been broken a second time and he keeps asking if I'm seeing someone else. So he can feel you slipping away. Then he loses his his like cash cow, his citizenship. I'm confused, and I bolded this for myself. I'm confused. I'm creating the very fearful thing I'm fearing, or am I seeing that I'm not emotionally and mentally stable enough for a secure relationship? Confusion, and it came up. In the next three paragraphs, you say, I'm confused. I hear this all the time. This is what people say. It's possible to be confused for a variety of reasons, but in a romantic dilemma where it's like, am I crazy, or am I being abused, or am I the bad guy, or wait, I'm so confused. That is the product of being gaslit. And part of this is you're gaslighting yourself. And I know you can't help it. Your trauma has got the better of you right now. I'm creating the very fearful thing I'm fearing. No, you're not creating anything. You seem to have very little influence over this. You're allowing somebody to take advantage of you. And I'm seeing that I'm not emotionally and mentally stable. And am I seeing that I'm not emotionally and mentally stable enough for a secure relationship? So again, I do not see that this person is offering you a secure relationship. You know, in the first 2 months of hanging out, the cops came to you twice and said, listen, do you want to get away from this man? We will help you. And so what you described of him, whatever he did, like police were concerned. And so I can't understand what he did, but I take seriously that police and bystanders were concerned and offered to help you. That tells me everything I need to know. It was clear to them that you were in danger. It was clear to them, and they offered you the choice. And I'm glad you took the choice and you got out of it. But now you've been hoovered back in, all right? You're sucked back in, and you're gaslighting yourself going, oh, it must be, I'm just not ready for a secure relationship. I think you're not ready, but the reason you're not ready is because your emotions and your life and your, what I call troth, your capacity to give yourself in marriage to somebody else, is completely tied up in a strangling snake of a relationship. It's killing you. It's destroying you. You feel like you're giving up. So you say, I keep wanting to end the marriage for some relief. Yes, there's your inner voice. There it is. And then you say, I thought to myself, I'm the one keeping it going by continuing to engage with him. Mm-hmm. Well, you're allowing it to continue. If I don't want to be married to him, I need to tell him that before he comes here. Yes, good. I encourage you to tell him. I'm confused, she says again. I want to build a healthy marriage. I bet you do. You're going to have some healing to do because the part of you that got into this relationship and believed that it was healthy or a good move for you and that you should send money and just be, yeah, that part of you needs to be healed. It's very hard to, like, usually somebody who's totally great, who's going to, you know, lift up your life, can't find you when you're so down and depressed in this kind of dynamic. So healing needs to happen. I'm so glad you wrote. You've come to the right place. I knew it would be work. This is not work. This is abuse. And now I'm being the one judging if that's possible based on my fearful judgments about him. Of course you have fearful judgments because he won't tell you the truth. He's hiding from you. He told me someone in the city where he is interested in employing him, but he wants to come here. He says he won't take any job because he has an MBA and is an engineer. Wait a minute. So he's an MBA and an engineer, but he doesn't have any money and you have to worry about his ability to eat and send him your money? He said he will pay for half the rent and expenses, but I don't know how he's getting the money. He says God takes care of everything. All right, Madison, wake up. One question that comes up for me is, am I vilifying him because of my fear? No, you're not vilifying him enough. You're having trouble seeing the truth. Let the commenters tell you. I'm going to try not to be too intense here. It's not really my role to tell you what to do, but I tell you what I see. You said, I was terrified of my mother as a child. She was dangerous, and yet I admired her. I can understand that imprint driving you now into this relationship. She says, I wonder if I need to make him dangerous because that is my definition of love, and I may not be seeing he's committed and faithful, which he seems to be. I'm like, I just don't know where you're getting that. You haven't seen him in 5 months, and you don't know him, and he lies to you, so I don't know. But I think that might be right, the danger. You know, sometimes we eroticize the pain that was dealt to us as children. I don't know if and how he will make money. I know he can if he wants to, but he seems to have the idea that he can make money without any effort. He has high thoughts about himself and has explained that he can't be employed as he gets asked too many questions. He says he needs to be self-employed. Okay, I won't go on and on. I'll let the commenters take these points. I said that's his choice, but he needs to prove income and have good credit rating in order to rent. I've already left church and no longer go to the groups I used to go to. I don't know what the groups are, but this is a sign of somebody under like narcissistic psychopath control. All right, they leave everything. They don't go to groups. I've isolated myself, saying I need to connect with myself and God and stop following others. Oh, that sounds like narcissistic control thinking, okay? Other things that scare me. I told him I don't want to have sex before marriage. He had sex the night before we caught the plane to his country, the night before they got married. She didn't want to do that before they got married. She says, I didn't fight. I did say I wasn't ready. Afterward, he said he needed to overcome my mind's resistance. All right. I think you downplay things. And if I were to put an adjuster on what you just said based on other things you said and how you downplay the facts, it sounds like he sexually assaulted you. So these things get fuzzy when we don't really have boundaries. And so I don't know what to say about that, but just, I'm sorry this is happening to you, and I hope we can support you in taking a bold move away from this abuse. All right, other thing. Okay, the relationship has been torment for me. Okay, so just by the way, if anybody tells me that about their relationship, it's not a good relationship. And I've called the free talk line to help regulate. After the first call, I gained the clarity to say, see, I was afraid to live with him. Okay, there we go. There's your inner voice. You're afraid to live with him. You needed just one helpline to help you hear yourself. And that's so good. It's not the financial situation. It's the lack of transparency and willingness to share that I'm worried about. I want to become close, and I know only sex will not bridge the gap. No, I don't think he's available for closeness. He does have childhood trauma, but he isn't taking responsibility for it or doesn't want to. Sometimes when we say that, when we notice that other people have it and we say they're not taking responsibility for it, what it really means is they're behaving in a way that I don't accept. I'm not okay with it. And then that denial part of our mind steps in and wants to try to like make them into something and go, it's childhood trauma. And if you would just take responsibility, you could change. Well, you know, I talk all day with people who have childhood trauma. And even when we take responsibility for it, it's a road to where we can actually show up for real in a relationship and make honest choices and treat people well. So there's no point in ever pressuring somebody who has terrible behavior. You know, if he's shown you time and time again through his behavior who he is. So all the psychologizing in the world about ADHD, CPTSD, take responsibility, watch these videos. That's your mind playing tricks on you that somehow you can get control over this terrible situation. It'd be one thing if you had a long-standing relationship, but even then, it's very unlikely you can force somebody to change. Okay, I'm afraid he forges documents. Okay, red flag. He hasn't introduced me to anyone in his life, friends or family. Yeah, why do I get the feeling that not only is he married and that's why he can't produce a divorce document, but that he marries lots of people, that he's just kind of running a racket with many women. If you search online for this, it's like a common phenomenon on the internet, and you can hear stories of other people who this has happened to, where they get ripped off. Their desire for love is exploited by ripoff artists, and it looks a lot like what you're going through. And even if I'm wrong, his behavior is terrible enough. Even if I'm wrong and his interest is sincere, he's doing something illegal, he's abusive, he won't be straightforward with you. And just, you know, just as a little aside, when people get married, one of the things that's always recommended is that you tell each other everything. If you have deep, dark secrets, you share it now. You give people the benefit of the doubt so they know what they're getting into. And I did that with my husband. I was really scared, but I had a couple things I hadn't totally told him yet. I think he didn't even have anything he hadn't already told me, but I had a couple things I was sort of embarrassed about and I thought he wouldn't like. And we were counseled, you know, get those things out there, because if I think there's anything about me that would make him want to leave me, now's the time. So you rushed into this marriage in 2 months. It just has all the hallmarks. Yeah. You didn't know. He says he's going to the church I used to go to in the country where he is, but he refuses to learn the prayers and told me things about that church that led me to leave. So I think he's using them to pay his rent. I don't think he's having sex with anyone else because he's against infidelity. All right, Madison, I think you just don't know anything about him. I don't get the feeling that you could ever make a judgment about his moral character based on the poor moral character he's demonstrating towards you. You just don't know. I got depressed after I left my previous marriage. I lost my job. I lost my confidence. I can see why you're vulnerable. Who wouldn't be? It's taken a long time to rebuild myself again, to have a job and people in my life support network, church, and the group that I go to be able to afford the room I live in. So you live in a room. Yeah. Oh my gosh. We're on your side. Madison, we're on your side. I want you to save all your money and care for yourself. If you just live in a room, you do need to be able to afford it, and you need to connect with friends. And if you don't want the church friends or that group, that's okay. But you need to be somewhere. And one place that always has a welcome place for people is in 12-step groups. And I hope you'll go there. Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous would be one. Go to a women's meeting. Stick with the women. Go in. Take your time. At a certain time, go ahead and tell them what's been going on. There's probably other women who have been through similar things. And they've walked further down the path and they can support you. And it's free. I don't get the feeling you have money for therapy, but if you do, this is one of those times to get some help for this, to help you use your mind clearly. And I can see you respond really well to just a little bit of nudging to see what's really going on and to know how you feel. So good. Be with the people who can nudge you in a way you trust. So you said, one more thing, I haven't been telling anyone about him. You haven't told anybody about him, which is what I did with my first boyfriend. I didn't tell my friends and don't really know why. So I know why, because you know that people who care about you would urge you to leave. And right now your need for love just can't bear to have to face that right now. And I understand, and I urge you to go ahead and tell your friends and get support for what you know you need to do. I know you know. You have that voice inside. Your trauma is trying to argue with that voice, and that's what happens. But with a little support and some good tools, you can get that little boost you need to get out of the denial thinking and into clear thinking and feel some friendship and support around you to make a positive choice. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days. And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to betterhelp.com/CCF, as in Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's betterhelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.